Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. And we, of course, have a great episode coming up for you. Obviously, we'd like it to be off of a win. The Nets fall to the Miami Heat. That's disappointing, but we know where the main story is. Kevin Durant leaving after 4 minutes. That's where we start. And that's what we talk about for the entire first segment. And it actually leads us into another component of not just the Brooklyn Nets season and their hopes for a championship run, but the NBA overall. Luck. It's something that plays a factor. No matter which way you want to slice it, it matters across all sports. And sometimes when it's your team that needs it, you wish it wasn't the case. And when another team needs it, you say it doesn't exist. We do get to the game. We do talk about the late sequences here. We obviously highlight the fantastic performance from Landry Shamet and what that could mean big picture wise. And then I batted around with Doug. What did that end sequence look like? Bam Adebayo, Jeff Green, ISO defense. We get there, but ultimately, this is still about championship run and where are we from a health perspective. It's all coming up, but first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, like today, Monday. I'm Doug Norrie, owner, operator, DFSR.com. Got you covered, all your DFS needs, FanDuel and DraftKings. And over there, that's Adam Armbrecht, the voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Sportscaster, the host of the One Giant podcast covering the New York football Giants. This guy just crushes New York sports. Buddy, how we doing?
Hi, I'm good. It's good to be here, man. Thanks for having me on. Listen, this is just trying to switch it up here. I want to have a different energy as we come into this one. Unfortunately, we'll be breaking down the 109-107 loss to the Miami Heat on Sunday afternoon. But overall, I got out on ahead of that loss. I got out with Courtney. We did some driving around on a Sunday when it was nice. So I came off a good weekend, capped off by a disappointing loss for Brooklyn. But even inside of that, of course, there's always a bigger storyline than the game itself. I feel like we say that now more often than not. We talk about the biggest story you're going to hear is about a player and usually about an injury.
Yeah, it's Kevin Durant, man. I don't know. I mean, we're going to break down the game. There's like some good pieces to take away from the game. Nothing is going to trump the fact that Kevin Durant goes down with an injury it's going to be like 4 or 5 minutes into the game They eventually called it a thigh or hamstring contusion. It was a contusion, which I think you do like to hear that piece for sure. But, and we'll get into the injury also here in a second, but it really is the story of this NBA season, which is the injuries are out of control. This particular injury is not a load management injury. This is just looks like a leg knock kind of thing. But it really is. It's like you just can't. It's the story of the Nets season and really pretty much the story of the NBA in general is that no team can get fully healthy. I just don't know another way to say it. Every single time you think you're on the cusp of health, the cusp of full health, in this case, James Harden is about to come back. I'm not even complaining because the worst thing you can be as a fan is like complain about, you know, injuries screwed you. I think that's like because injuries just do happen. I'm more saying like this course of this NBA season has just been just the worst ever with injuries, the compressed schedule, you know, playing tired and fatigued, too many minutes. Again, this specific injury is not that. But does it have that sense of you of like, we're going to reach the end of the season and it's just going to be like if you just happen to be last man standing, you're going to win the championship? Because that's what it's starting to feel like. And every single day when a new superstar gets hurt, in this case, you know, one of the very best players in all of basketball and a player the Nets probably need to win the championship, it kind of feels like, okay, let's just if it's June and you're still healthy, that's who's going to win. Like I hate to couch the whole season like this, but that's kind of where it feels like we're going here.
No, and it's not funny, but I think to your point, it's not complaining. It just is what it is, and a lot of teams have been suffering from this, but it does seem to be the theme. And I almost think you go back to last year and the bubble playoffs, right? Yeah. And everyone talked about certain elements that were going to impact every single team and which teams were able to rise above that. And you think about, oddly enough, the Miami Heat, who made it to the finals in the bubble, as being, okay, that was about mental toughness and, you know, being isolated away from family and all those kind of things, and not having the home court, having crowds, all that kind of stuff. So this year, it does seem, to your point, boy, if you hit health at the right time, and it does make me wonder which team, maybe, you know, a team like even Phoenix comes to mind as, well, yeah, what if they just hit it healthy at the right stride? That can be a deep playoff team that maybe was going to run into more difficulty if everyone was 100%. But that's the kind of year it's going to be, and it's not going to diminish whatever happens when the playoffs come, and specifically for the Nets here. I, by the way, came into this game yesterday thinking, you know, Kevin Durant hasn't played a ton, obviously, this year. He's had some really nice performances, and they all seem pretty controlled. I came into it thinking, boy, wouldn't it be nice if KD, who started 3-for-3 from the field, by the way, if he just came out and gave you, you know, a 40 burger, just really laid it on and gave you that full display as we wind down the regular season. And this, unfortunately, couldn't be any more of the antithesis of that desire. You know, 8 points, he said, only 4 minutes played. He knocks it going to the basket. It looks like either a knee knock, or maybe he gets a knee into the thigh area. And then he kind of limps around for a couple of possessions. There's a double team that comes, and ultimately he exits out of the game. And now, as you and I have talked about with injuries throughout this year for Brooklyn, now I think you do start to, you know, now we're getting into that interesting area around games played and played together and injuries and, you know, what's it going to look like? And this isn't about them having their rhythm, because we've said it before. Harden, Kyrie, KD, if they're on the court, it'll sort itself out. I'm not worried about them having continuity or whoever else is going to be on the court with them. But I am now, I maybe am worried about at least two of them being healthy for the playoffs to start. And I don't know where we stand there. And we mentioned it before we started recording. And I talked about this with Matt Brooks the other day. Kyrie Irving, him being the guy that's, quote, carrying the load down the stretch, is somewhat, and you know, antithesis of what you would think you would want. Yeah. But he's been oddly the healthiest guy this year. You know, can he get down the stretch here without getting dinged up? Is Harden just going to come back, a guy that's usually very healthy? If he comes back and he looks like himself, maybe we settle ourselves down a little bit. But that hand over the panic button, I'm at least hovering. I'm milling around it. It's in the room. You know what I mean? I haven't broken the glass yet, but it is in my eye line.
Yeah, so I mean, just as like in terms of like panic, and I guess I walked my panic back a little bit. I was a little late tuning into this game because I was watching Knicks Pelicans and the end on ESPN, and not like anybody cares. And then that game started on ESPN News, and so it takes, you know, I'm not the quickest at like being able to figure out what's going on with game time sometimes. And I was like, oh no, shoot, I gotta turn it over here. And I was waiting for it to come on. Bad job by me letting ESPN run my life for me, which didn't work like that. It didn't work in this situation, but I actually tuned in the second Durant walked off the court, and that's when my panic button walked off, because I texted you right away. I was like, oh my god, did Durant just like come off? And I instantly loaded up Twitter, and all you need to be to see the panic button be really hit is just go into your Nets Twitter feed, and that's where, you know, we're at DEFCON 5. It's all hands on deck. I mean, he might as well have died, like the way that there was a the reaction
of his leg is still on the court. They're trying to pick up his limbs to hopefully reassemble.
Well, getting your in the minute injury information from there is like going to WebMD when your throat hurts. It's like you're gonna come out of there with something, you know, exceptionally worse than the reality.
Get your affairs in order.
So that's what my panic button. Totally. I guess it's all in the eye of the beholder in this when it comes to this, because my panic button hit at that very moment, and then when I saw the contusion, I'm thinking, okay, that's not a re-aggravation. Great, because re-aggravation, like for instance with Harden. Remember, you know, you'll remember my reaction to that, which was like, I think I called it a disaster, right? Right. So like, because the re-aggravation piece is different than the maybe just, you know, running into a little bad luck and you knock your knees and hopefully it's okay. So I think in general, I'm not so worried. The problem is when you look at this, I mean, we're going to finish the season. Right now, KD's only played 23 games. There's only 15 left, right? Like this is, so there is like an element, there's a couple elements here. There's a conditioning element, which is like at some point you need to have your conditioning ramped up to a point where you can take 35 to 40 minutes in a playoff game because you need to win them. Clearly, mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, I would say almost with certainty will not be at that point come the playoffs, right? Like he was on a general minutes limit right now. He had played 30 in the last game. I don't know where they were planning on going here. this will almost definitely set that back at least a few games, right? So I think we can be pretty clear that we're going to go into the playoffs with him not being able to play a full load. We're probably going to be somewhere around that with Harden because they're going to be, you know, this hamstring thing. There's going to be really kid gloves around that. And so I think a few weeks ago we had talked about when, at what point in the season will we need to have been at or will we need to be at to start worrying. I don't even mean about – now I'm actually not even worried about the chemistry piece. I'm actually just worried about the physicality piece, right? Because now
Go ahead. No, no, because by the way, this was the game. This was the date when we said as far
was
as
it really?
This was. Yeah, I think this is the one that we pinpointed, saying the Miami Perfect. Heat game. That'd be a good one to get everybody back. And to your point, we were talking about rhythm and chemistry. Now, and you're right too. The contusion as opposed to reaggravation, that is one piece of it. I think now is the theme, right? It's just the flukiness of injury. That's really what I'm worried about. And to your point about ramping up, you know, KD, I think the new concern would be, okay, fine, we're not worried about a first round matchup. Is, you know, if we have Harden and Kyrie, then we feel confident, and even with just one of them, we might still feel pretty good about getting out of the first round. But if Kevin Durant's ready at that point, and you want to make sure that he's ramped up for the later, more difficult round matchups, are you going to risk overtaxing him and catching another fluky injury in a first round series when you don't need to worry about him, but you are worried about him not being able to take a full load in a second or, you know, or a Eastern Conference Finals matchup with the 76ers, right? So all these kind of things are pinging around my mind when I look at this now. And listen, it seems like ebbs and flows, right? People have come back and it's leveled off. But this is now when we wanted to see Kevin Durant starting to find his rhythm and get his legs underneath him. So whatever delay this looks like, it does at least it does throw off what I was going to be comfortable with going towards the playoffs. Now we're about probably, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks off schedule from what would have had me say, yeah, I'm fine with it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I want to talk more about this injury stuff. Obviously, we have a game to talk to, a buzzer beater to talk about as well, because a game did happen here on Sunday past the 3-minute mark when Kevin Durant left. So we are going to get to that as well. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Indeed. If you're hiring for your company right now, unfortunately, the Nets can't hire basketball players on Indeed, although if you could, I'm sure this would be the first place they would go, because Indeed makes finding quality candidates your absolute must hiring partner, and it's just going to make your life easier as well. It's the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. You just post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. You get a quality shortlist of candidates. Resumes are right there on Indeed, and they're going to match your job description faster. And you're only going to pay for the candidates that meet those qualifications. Schedule the interviews right there on Indeed. It's all done on the dashboard. It has instant match, so you don't have to waste your time going through all these different resumes trying to find the right candidate. Indeed, they just do all this stuff for you. It's a one-stop shop for all of your hiring needs. They have 130 skills tests. You can add them on your own, too, to weed out candidates to find the right match for your company. Right now, to get started with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your post at Indeed.com/locked. So go to Indeed.com/locked for a free $70 sponsored job credit. You get that credit at Indeed.com/locked. One more time, Indeed.com/locked. The offer is valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Also, you know we got to talk about Built Bar. Not a podcast goes by where we don't talk about Built Bar. It's because it's super easy. Built Bar, the absolute best protein bar on the market. All you have to do for a little proof in the old Built Bar pudding here is to head on over to the Locked On NBA group chat, where these guys are just talking about Built Bar like they talk about basketball. And those aren't paid sponsors, folks. This is just like they're in there talking about the very best flavors. That is the best proof of concept you can have. People just love the product. We love Built Bar because the flavors are amazing and it's actually good for you. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, just some of the new flavors, banana bread, mint brownie, orange, toffee, almond. Those are some of the classic ones. These aren't ice cream flavors, folks. This is protein, a protein bar that is actually healthy for you. Perfect. You're on the keto diet. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. It has, right now, you can get while supplies last, there's a free cooler with purchase, but you have to go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15. That's Locked, like our podcast network, and 15 for the 15% off that you're going to get on your next order. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
And if you're looking for all the sports news in under 20 minutes proof, it's got to be the Locked On Today podcast pudding. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. Before we do get into, you know, starting lineup and some of the things from this game against Miami, there is one piece around injuries that I think if it's your team, right? If your team runs bad in the wrong year, Golden State Warriors, you know, comes to mind when you think about LeBron James and finally getting his championship with Cleveland. But fans get obsessed with this when it's them. Right. And every other year it's, hey, that's the way it falls. And I feel like sometimes you can get lost in that when you're disappointed about something that's happening to your team.
Well, right, for sure. And so this year's a great example of it. But like you said, there's just years past are great examples of it, too, because every year is a great example of this. This is just what happens in sports. Like you need to be a couple things in sports. You need to be really good. The Nets are really good. You need to have made really good fundamental just team decisions. The Nets have done that right along the line, almost perfectly, frankly. Their track record on this stuff is almost unparalleled within the NBA in terms of getting in the right personnel, getting superstars, getting a culture, all that stuff. So they do those two things perfectly. Get schemes in that work. It's easy when you have superstars to make good schemes, so they check that box too. And then you need to be lucky. there's a last part that's not talked about, but is inherent to entire seasons and every single sport, some more than others. Like some sports you're much more of an injury risk. Like, you know, if your quarterback gets hurt in football, that's going to be almost insurmountable. And then you can just assign the levels of severity around injuries basically going forward. But essentially what you're hoping to have, you can reduce this a little bit by having good training staffs and things like that. And some teams are definitely worse or better than others. But in the end, it does. There is this last piece that you need, and you need to be lucky. You need to set yourself up where luck matters, right? Like it's just,
and
like,
you can
like
pick starting that up at Modell's or Dick's Sporting Goods, right? You just go out and grab a. Oh, hey, make sure you pick up a bag of luck before we get this thing going here.
You just can't look at a season of basketball like you just can't. Right? Exactly. Like you can't. I wish you could, but by the way, I would have invested many millions already in this. It's not for lack of not wanting to figure out how to get it, but it's. You do need to be lucky when it counts. And that is going, and every season is like this. Like, you know, luck last year was the Lakers remained healthy, had two of the best players and remained healthy enough to get all the way through the bubble, right? Didn't really kind of succumb to too much COVID stuff when it was all said and done. You know, the Heat lost Goran Dragic. You want to say how important he was? It probably doesn't swing the championship. They would have liked to have him. Go back a season before and the Warriors literally lose Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant in the same series, right? That's just bad luck. Yep. Those guys can get hurt at any time, and they just don't. The Raptors don't get hurt during that time, and they win, right? The season, two seasons before that, Kevin Love gets injured when he's on the Cavs. It's a never-ending list of you need to be good, you need to set yourself up perfectly, and then in the end, you need to be lucky. And this might be the next season. It might not be. I'm still very bullish on them winning the championship. This is not me, you know, waxing. I'm not writing the swan song of, oh, you know, woe is us, another injury here because Kevin Durant knocked his knee. That's not what I'm saying. But you do need to prepare yourself sort of emotionally around this and to say, if it didn't happen because of these things, it can just, that's just the tale of literally sports from the beginning of time.
Well, right? I'll tell you, man, I did have that thought, and I don't believe in the proverbial jinxes or curses of talking about things, but when you saw him go out a little bit, my mind wandered into the idea of like, boy, you know, there's still time, and we've talked before about second contracts for all these guys, but it did start to make me think of, man, could this just be one of those times, this 3 or 4 or 5 year run where some of the best collection of talent, it just never lined up. Kevin Durant coming back from injury isn't going to play the whole first year. Kyrie takes most of that season off. You acquire James Harden, but then he, an iron horse player, ends up going down with injury. And what does the playoff run look like? And it just, you know, obviously that can all get washed away if these guys come back together healthy for the playoffs this year and into next year as well. But it happens. You can go through history at some of the best assembled teams on paper that for injuries or other reasons were never able to get the ultimate goal. And they go down as, boy, here's an example of you can't necessarily just automatically assume the championship is around the corner here. It still takes the skill, the talent, the drive, and that bag of luck.
Yeah, and honestly, and there's still more luck to, that needs to be meted out here. The season is far from over. There's 15 games left in the regular season, and if they were to make a long, deep playoff run, I mean, that's minimum 20 to 25 more games, right? So,
yeah.
And that's if, well, no, let me do 16. Yeah, let's say 20. Let's say 20 if they roll through the first round and then some of those ones go a little bit deeper. But yeah, 20 to 25 is, I think, a realistic number. I probably should have done a I probably should have stopped and figured out what that real number is. But like, let's say realistically, we're looking at 30-ish more games, right? Minimum to win a championship. That's, well, 30 more games is more than Kevin Durant's played all year. So if you're looking at the season, see, this is the other thing about like where basketball can kind of screw you up a little bit in terms of the schedule. Is that the regular season is 82, well, now it's 72, but typically 82 games. But if you want to make that extra run, that is like another quarter of the season. So for the Nets right now, while they're 57 games into this? So they're 57 games into this. That's really at like only the two-thirds mark, right? Like it's not actually 15 games left. You have to look at the season as going on longer. So The Nets just don't need to get to the regular season healthy. They need to get to the playoffs too. And the playoffs are like a whole other half, third of a season or whatever. I'm getting the numbers screwed up, but you understand the general point I'm trying to make, right?
But this is why LeBron is so well regarded, right? In terms of this, a dude that keeps going back to playoffs and keeps, and in playoff runs when he, going back to his first stint with Cleveland, had to be doing everything at a young age and then continues to do it as he's gotten older and as he's progressed in his career and his style of play. And the dude every year shows back up for these playoff runs. And I can't remember yet. You have to go check the numbers on it. It's like he's thrown on another few seasons.
Oh, yeah, like I think it's like three more seasons, like two or three more seasons worth of basketball he's played, or something like that. Like some insane number that doesn't even get factored into it because people only end up counting the regular season stuff. But that's folly. Like you have to count the whole thing. So on the one hand, I'm going to kind of backtrack on what I said before, which was, oh, there's only 15 games left in the season, but that's actually incorrect, right? So it's there's. You know, you run the risk because you actually, you know, the games after that 15 are worth a lot more than the lead up these next 15, right? Because each one of those games could mean a game, one more game that could decide whether you play more games, right? So there's start counting for a lot more after that. But these next 15 are probably not part and parcel to the ones that happen after. But it's good for the Nets fans to keep in mind that, like, if this season plays out the way most Nets fans think it's going to, you know, we're only two-thirds-ish away of the way through the season, not going 15 more games. So I guess I'm walking back some of my – I'm going to walk back my panic button. I've only depressed it halfway after looking at it that way.
Well, and not for nothing. Remember, Kevin, like you said, Kevin Durant, 23 games played. You're talking about needing 30 to 40 quality games from this guy for someone who over the last 500-plus days has played 23 games of NBA basketball, right? That's the big factor specifically with him. I think the Nets could get by with and survive on a James Harden if he gets himself and his legs back underneath him and out there on the court.
All right, we're finally going to get into this game.
We're going to talk about the game.
there was a game that was played. I didn't want you to think there hadn't been. Just because we haven't talked about it doesn't mean there wasn't a game played. After the first 3 minutes. We'll probably end up doing is talking about the game a little bit here for the rest of the program, and then on Tuesday's podcast leading into the Pelicans game, we'll probably look at it a little bit more too, because there's more than just a final little bit here to mine out of this game, because there were for sure some takeaways, some really positive ones too. Got to talk first about our friends over at betonline.ag. I know right now it's not on betonline.ag, but it'll be there first thing Monday morning, and I'm going to be heading over there and just looking where those Nets championship odds were. They were the odds on favorite last time I checked on betonline. I think they still will be, but it'll be interesting to see how this Kevin Durant injury sort of factors in to where the general betting public thinks that the Nets' chances are right now. That's just one of the props you can get over on Bet Online. They have every single thing you can need for your betting action. Nightly NBA, MLB cranking it out daily, NHL still on the ice. It's all there for you on betonline.ag. Totally free to sign up as well. But you're going to head over there, you're going to want to make a deposit because, yeah, you got the feeling, you got the itch. You know what's going to happen over there for some of these games. You make a deposit, you use the promo code LOCKEDON, and they're going to give you a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. 50% welcome bonus with that first deposit, but you have to use the promo code LOCKEDON. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
And I've got an itch that only the Locked On NBA Draft podcast can scratch. I want more analysis on those top prospects available in the upcoming NBA Draft, and that's why you're going to go to Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Follow the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts fulfilled. Okay, I want to get positive out of this game, and we're going to go into the closing sequences, obviously, that end up ultimately spelling a loss for the Brooklyn Nets. But just, and this is quickly, the Nets come out with a starting lineup. Obviously, it pivots very fast as Durant leaves, but they started with Griffin getting inserted into the starting rotation. So it was KD, Griffin, Harris, Brown, and Irving. Anything there for you? Was it surprising for you to see Blake inserted into the starting lineup? Would you have had a preference of, if you're starting someone else other than, say, DeAndre Jordan for another game, then why not Nick Claxton?
I mean, I could have made the case for Green here probably too. I don't think I would have done Claxton, even though he gets the 23 minutes. When I saw Blake starting, I was not surprised. I didn't think it would be DeAndre in this spot, knowing that Miami does trend a little bit smaller and rangier with Bam. I mean, Bam's not like a huge outside threat, but he does operate a lot away from the basket on like a lot of dribble handoff stuff. So like, or just a handoff in like high screens, and he just facilitates so much of the action up high that at that point it is kind of like worthless to have DeAndre there, because he's just not gonna, punish Bam at all on either end. So, right. I wasn't surprised. You can make the case for Claxton, although I think that we've seen enough from him that they're probably a little sketchy on what his ability is offensively if like they don't have the three other guys with him. And so
can I ask you something on that? Because when you look at the box score, you know, by the end of the second half, and this probably happens in most NBA games, get down to the fourth quarter, the defense starts to tighten up, etc. but I have wondered about, because the Nets were down, going back to the Friday night game, down 14 in that one to Charlotte before they ultimately win by 15, but another slow starting game for them. There's some part of me, and it's hard with the injuries, but there is some part of me that almost wishes the Nets would choose, because even with the injuries, their offensive firepower is still among the best in the NBA. I would prefer them try to come out and start a game by clamping down defensively. Yeah. Like, stake your claim there first, and then you can, you know, assume, that's the famous last words, but assume that the offense will take care of itself by the time you get to the fourth quarter. And to that point, and you can, it doesn't mean splitting hairs, but the idea of a Claxton, a more defensive minded player, and saying, listen, between Harris, and we're going to get into Shamet here in a second, and Kyrie Irving, they can carry the offensive load. I want the guy that's going to frustrate, in this case, Bam, and some of the weapons for Miami down around the basket, to get the game started. Get them in a funk early and see if they can fight out of it when we're firing on all cylinders in the second half.
Yeah, so let me be clear. I'm not against them trying it. I'm just not surprised they didn't. Like, so that's my point. As I think actually now is, I think we've been saying this, now is the time to try it. Like, this is, these last 15 games are the time to try it. I think by the end, we're going to know what the first round playoff plan is, right? Like, so I don't think we're going to be nightly guessing on the starting lineup when it's all said and done. Now that could, the way they've done everything else is they just don't want to seem to do this, right? And so I'm just not,
right.
I think they should try. I'm a proponent of trying. I think there's only one way to get better with a group and like to improve your game, and that is to play in these situations. I'm not surprised they don't, because they just, organizationally, have always fought against this, right? Like, they did it, they fought against it with Jared Allen. They always default to veteran stuff unless it's, the case is so overwhelming that, to the point of like, we just can't make a case to not do it, which is what happened with Jared Allen, right? And it was, and that was only after the case was so overwhelming.
Yeah.
Now, the other piece is, you guys talked, I know you and Matt talked about Shamet here. That one looks well-timed because, man, he
head
was
on back and listen to the Friday episode there with Matt Brooks, because he does come out firing. And at the time, Matt said, he's like, yeah, this is a guy who's gone from maybe ninth to seventh in terms of the hierarchy of players on his team, and probably took a bump maybe even off of this performance. And we were even highlighting his on the ball, because we're talking about the lack of point guards with the injuries. He showed that he can run the point for you. He showed that he can take guys off the dribble, and he was doing that early in this one, driving and penetrating and getting at the basket. Then he also starts dumping it in from the outside as well. It's a shame, man. 7-12 from downtown in this one, 10-15 overall from the field in 38 minutes. A career high 30-point performance for him. It's such a shame that it goes to waste in this game, and I wouldn't have hated if they had given him a look at, you know, really tried to get it into his hands, because I know we'll get into the end sequences here, but when a guy is firing like that, and you've gone 6-19, Kyrie Irving, this game doesn't really mean anything in the spectrum, but it would have meant something to Shamit if he could have hit some late big shots for you.
Well, okay, so the other way to look at that is, I don't disagree with anything you said. The other way to look at it is they're not even in the game without Shamit. So you could say, like, oh, they wasted right. it. But yeah. There's another part where you could say this game is probably just an utter blowout had he not just gone complete flamethrower. So I get it. It's like sort of chicken and the egg, and it doesn't make sense to like, – it probably doesn't make sense to argue it. But I would probably say a little bit of that, though. It was like – you know, they're not even close in this game unless he just shoots the lights out of the building.
Right, and everybody knows that. So he you're still going to hang your hat on that for Shamit as being like, hey, you carried us for the entire game. Like, you're the reason we were there.
Totally. And I think in the end, yes, it goes down as a loss. I think we've, you know, have spoken many times that they say these wins and losses are not all that important at this point. Maybe we look back and say, hey, it would have been nice to have this seeding so we don't have to play, like, the Raptors or something. But without knowing how that's gonna exactly play out, there's a world where even winning all these games does you dirty in terms of seeding later. I don't think, you know what I mean, so I just don't think, I don't think I can go crazy on that. I think what you take away, though, is look, this is a national game against a playoff team at basically full strength, and Shamit like not only didn't look down on it, but excelled in this situation. And I think when you're looking at that, you can say, hey, who can play for us in the playoffs? You're like, Landry Shamit can play for us in the playoffs, right? Like, like you can walk, because this game had sort of a playoff feel to it. It had a next man up situation with Durant going down. It had a, we need you right now because we do not have a lot of other guys that can even come close to, you know, creating our own shot at all on this team once Harden and KD are out, and it's just basically Kyrie on an island. And the fact that he was able to jack up 15 shots and just completely shoot the lights out on what I would consider to be, in terms of the regular season, a very big stage, that, to me, it ends up being as much of, like, it makes up for the fact that they lost by two and Bam, you know, kind of cooked Jeff Green on the buzzer beater.
Yeah, and so, I mean, obviously, without Jimmy Butler, but relatively speaking, you feel on even keel when you don't have Harden and then you lose KD somewhat immediately. So,
I did a bad job there. I forgot that. I said they were full strength, and that was not correct. And that's
even without that, though, when you think about the Tyler Heroes of the world, and by the way, the closing sequences of this, just to quickly touch it, because I want to get to that, what you mentioned there about Jeff Green and a coaching question at that point. The Nets go from down 5 to up 4 on an 11-0. Run that included some Shamit triples, that included, I think, a triple from Harrison there as well, who had a bad shooting night from beyond the arc. But there's two things. One, Dragic streamed down the lane with ease for a layup late in the game, and it was just, you know, that dude is, I don't know, 43, 46, I think, something in that range.
I think he's 52.
Yeah, and he glides with ease. He has that type of style of his play, and it was just a bit of a, like, that felt as much of a gut punch as what happens in the final seconds, because it was like, Jesus, you let Dragic just kind of dance down the lane to get a very easy deuce. The Nets go up, but they go 0-for-5 over the last sequence. Kyrie's 0-of-3 in there. Seemed like maybe he was, you know, pushing, looking for that shot to have the big one go down. But then the final sequence, it's Bam Adebayo. It's single coverage defense with Jeff Green on him. They isolate him, and he just kind of backs himself down to the lane nicely off the left side. Turn around, jumper, bang, 109-107. Is there anything in your mind, because it's out off of, you know, there was an opportunity for Nash to adjust something defensively. Would you have liked to seen something be switched there? Is this, again, big picture, get a sample size of Jeff Green defending someone like Bam so you have a sense of what could happen in the playoffs? Or was this a failure to react on Steve Nash and the coaching staff's part?
I actually just think that everyone, including me, was surprised that was the play. Like, the part where you draw it up and you say the final play is going to be Bam taking someone off the dribble, I just don't, like, that's just not usually how it goes. And so right. I think there's a chance. It's hard for me to even blame the coverage here, because I'm happy to have someone even more XOs than us, like, come in and say this, and I could be wrong, but Even I was waiting.
You thought it was going to go away from that.
I was waiting for a handoff. Yep. Right? Like I thought there was going to be a. I thought there was going to be because there was enough time for this to happen. I thought there was going to be clear out and then have whoever they actually wanted to shoot the ball come to the ball, run it off a little mini screen there, and that would be the last shot. Right? Because you'd be because you have a ball handler. Oh, it's almost always ball handlers that take these last shots, right? And so that can create something off the dribble. So I think. I don't want to say they got caught off guard, but I would give them a pass if that was actually the case, because even I didn't think, like, I was like, oh, this is going to be the last shot. They're going to ISO Bam Adebayo and go have him go face up against the defender into the lane for a shot. Kevin Durant maybe, but and Bam's great, but that's just like not his game. So I can kind of give a pass because, frankly, I just can't believe that was the play, and I know that it worked, and it's just not something you often see.
And by the way, right, we talk about it for Shamet, and just to touch on that quickly, I think you're 100% right. Shamet has been proving over this run now that he, and by the way, his field goal percentage has increased every single month of the season. He's only gotten better by every single month-by-month sample size, up to 50% now at this point in April. But for Bam, for Miami, this is an opportunity. Give Bam the last shot, right? Let's have him learn something about himself, about hitting a game-winning shot like that, that they can utilize and call back to when it comes to playoffs. So I know that we're a Nets podcast, but I think just in the landscape of the NBA, this is what's going on for good teams, for playoff teams. These are the boxes you are trying to check. Can Shamet be a big contributor in the playoffs? It looks like we can count on him. Can Bam Adebayo take a guy one-on-one and knock down a game-winning shot? Yes, he can. And these are the things you need to see happen for teams if you want to know. And if you're Miami, you want to get back to the finals and try to get over the hump this time, this is a box you need to have checked.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think, again, it was like, what's the worst that can happen? They go to overtime here? I think there was
tie game, easy.
And there could have just been a situation where they said, hey, if you get into this matchup, like if they bring out this personnel and you get into this matchup, like you're free to go, right? And if it's a different situation, then they have a plan B and a plan C. So I don't know exactly if that was what it was, but I put myself in the crowd of surprised that that was the play, and heck, it worked. Okay, we'll talk more about this game. We didn't even get into some of these other role guys that came in and played more minutes. Hopefully we have more updates on Kevin Durant's injury and what the timeline, although the Nets really almost never give this, but hopefully there's some kind of timeline given over the next day or two about what we're looking at with him. Probably have a little bit more on James Harden and where he's going to be with his return. We'll talk about that all tomorrow. In the meantime, go rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. 5 stars or bust helps those keep those numbers high. 5 stars or bust, rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts.
What does it take to win a championship? Some might call it luck. I like to call it, well, luck, I guess. So what? Happy Gilmore.
Oh, one of the all-time great American poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.